They're in on it together, the two of them. Well, what's he doing with a fair fortune in Pure, I ask him, and he tells me that he has a claim up Dunstan way. Was it declared, I say, and he says no. Undeclared means untaxed, which means this shipment is in breach of duty, or at least it will be if Godspeel sails on schedule with the next day's tide. Now, there in the forecastle, Carver lets me think about all that for a moment. I'm thinking about what it looks like from above. It looks like I've been going behind the husband's back for a good long while to court his wife as my mistress. There's proof of that. It looks like I've stolen a fair fortune from the man, and I mean now to ship the gold offshore. It looks like I've engineered the whole business to bankrupt and ruin him, both. That's adultery and theft and even conspiracy right off. But the real clincher is that the gold's undeclared. I'm facing charges for breach of customs, evading duty, illegal trafficking, all of that. I'm looking at a lifetime in jail. And I don't have a lifetime left, Thomas. I don't have a lifetime left. So I ask him what he wants. And finally he shows his cards. He wants the ship.
Is he an able seaman at this point?
Yes. He works under Rexworthy, and he wants Rexworthy gone. He's figured it all out. How I'm going to sack Rexworthy that very night, how I'm going to cancel the contract on the crew and sign the ship over to him free and clear. This is an insult, you understand. I laugh, I say no, but he's got that goddamned whistle, and he pretends to make a move to call the harbour master in.
Did you ask to see the gold in the case? Said Balfour.
How did he know he wasn't bluffing?
Of course I asked to see it, said Lauderback.
We did all that.
Oh, he had laid his foundations with care. I have to credit him for that. There were five dresses in the trunk. Each of them last season's fashions in keeping with his story. Ready for the dressmakers in Melbourne, you see.
But hear this. The gold wasn't just lying free in the case beneath the gowns. It had been sewn into the very seams of the dresses. By Lydia herself, no doubt. She was a dab hand with a needle and thread. You wouldn't have guessed at all, until you lifted them out and felt the weight of them. But a customs officer might not have troubled himself to do that, you see, unless he was tipped off and knew where to look. When you opened the case, even when you rummaged around, it was just woman's fashions, nothing else. Yes, it was a very clever plan.
Let me get my head around this, Balfour said. If the ship had sailed on schedule, then Carver would have come across the trunk in the hold, acting as though he'd never seen it before.
He would have brought it up to Rexworthy, feigning outrage and distress and what have you. They were his wife's dresses, after all, and my name was on the papers. He would have demanded to bring the law to my door on account of the theft, the adultery, the breach of customs, all of it. Godspeed would never have left the harbour. She'd have been turned around before she reached the heads. Then the law would have come for me and clapped me in arms.
But surely, if that happened and the law was called in, you might have just blamed it all on Lydia Wells, Balfour said. Surely she would have been jailed.
Oh, yes, she certainly would have been,
Lauderback replied, cutting him off.
But I was not going to risk my own freedom merely to have the satisfaction that she would get her comeuppance too. The two of them would certainly have sided against me if the whole confounded business came to trial, and that would have bought her a great deal of sympathy. For seeing the light, you see, for repenting, for standing by her lawful husband, and all that rot.
If he really was her lawful husband, Balfour pointed out. Now it seems that Crosby Wells...
Yes, yes,
Lauderback snapped.
But I didn't know that then, did I? Don't tell me what I ought to have done and how I ought to have done it. I can't bear that. A game plays how a game plays.
Well, said Balfour, sitting back, I'm blowed.
He wore me down, said Lauderback.
He spread his hands in a gesture of defeat.
I signed her over.
Balfour thought for a moment.
Where was Rexworthy that night?
At the damned gambling house, Lauderback said.
Having an evening of his life, no doubt, with Lydia Wells at his elbow, blowing on his dice.
Was he in on the secret?
I don't think so, Lauderback said, shaking his head.
He had shore leave that night. There was a naval occasion, an official event of some kind, nothing untoward, and I never got a funny feeling afterwards. What's he doing now?
Braxworthy? Helming the bloody Spirit of the Thames, and bored as a tiger in a carriage car. The man can't stand steam. He's furious with me.
Does he know?
Lauderback looked angry. I'm a public figure, he said. If anybody knew about this, you'd know. I'd be sunk. Does he know? Of course he doesn't know.
He'd become suddenly impatient with his own story, Balfour saw. The narration of the events had only rekindled his shame at having been made a fool.
But the sale of the ship, Balfour said after a moment, that's public knowledge, printed in the papers.
Lauderback swore.
Oh, yes, he said. According to the paper, I sold that damned ship for a very reasonable price indeed, and all in pure. Of course, I never saw a penny of it. The gold stayed in that damned trunk, and when Godspeed made her voyage to Melbourne the next day, the trunk was collected on the other side, as it had been every month for the past year. And then it disappeared, of course. I couldn't do a thing about it without bringing down all hell around my ears. God only knows where that gold is now. And he's got the ship to boot.
Lauderback toyed angrily with the cruet stand.
What was the true value of the gold in the trunk, to your eye?
I'm no prospector, Lauderback said. But by the weight of the gowns, I'd estimate it was a couple of thousand at least.
And you never saw that gold again?
No.
Or heard tell of it?
No.
Did you ever see the girl again, Lydia Wells?
Lauderback laughed harshly.
Lydia Wells is no girl, he said. I don't know what she is, but she's not a girl, Thomas. She's not a girl.
But he had not answered Balfour's question.
You know, she's here, in Hokitika,
Balfour reminded him.
So you mentioned, said Lauderback grimly, and would not say more.
What a strange, unbroken beast is adulation! How unpredictably it rears its head and tears against the bridle of its own making. Balfour's worship of the other man, that which had so easily become petulance, now became in rising flood disdain. To have lost so much, and over a mistress, over another man's wife. Disdain, for all its censorious pretension, is an emotion that can afford a certain clarity. Thomas Balfour watched his friend drain his glass and snap his fingers for another round, and was scornful. And then his scorn gave way to mistrust, and his mistrust to perspicacity. There were elements of Lauderback's story that still did